Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today's April 28th, 2017, and we're here live for just about 2 hours. Can't wait to get the show on the road here. But before I do, I always go to my CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron and get my cup of fresh Joe. They got a special going on once again. It's Monsters, 2 for $4. So go to CEFCO Hilltop in Cameron, get yours, get your coffee, paper, smokes, whatever it takes to get your day going. And turn the dial on to KMIL 105.1 FM, KRXT 98.5 FM out of Rockdale. Check it out or go to aaronsgunshop.com and listen to it live on the radio page. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be part of the show, give us a call here at the studio at 254-697-6633. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel at Aaron's Gun Shop, and follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook. Lots of ways you can get a hold of us, lots of ways you can get some information and learn a whole bunch of things. So check it out on all those different social medias. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot going on in the show as always. I'm going to give you some show highlights, tell you what's coming up so you can get ready. Once again, 3 more true stories of self-defense from the Concealed Carry magazine. And as always, we'll learn what to do and what not to do from the actions of others. So stay tuned for that. Going to be a lot of good information there. My License to Carry attorney segment, sponsored by the Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, will be the attorney extraordinaire, Benton Ross Watson. Ross is going to be following up from last week's discussion of restraining orders. He does a lot of these. So if you have questions, give us a call here at the studio, 254-697-6633. This week, like every week, I'll give you upcoming dates of events that are happening that you can get involved with Aaron's. So open up your calendars and get ready to mark these down. And finishing off the last hour will be the delicious Janae Goodman with another entree of tactical snacking. This week, dehydration of foods, and she brought in a whole bunch of nice beef jerky here, so it's delicious. She's going to tell you all about it. At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon. Now, chief is coming in. He's going to be in studio today. Trey, how long has it been? A couple months now?
Yeah.
Been a couple months. Chief will be actually here behind the microphone giving you his words of wisdom. The pontificator of practicality, the connoisseur of common sense, and the duke of decency. All-around good guy, too. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, is the Taurus Public Defender. If you don't know what it is, you need to listen up. This is a powerhouse of portability. Fits the niche of portability very nicely. It's perfect. Now, at around 11:30, I'll be replaying my 7 steps of preparedness. I had an interesting conversation with a few folks, and I feel that my experience in this matter should be heard once again. So check it out at 11:30. It's a lot of good information at 11:30. Then to close up the show, we're going to have Master Cindy Key, owner of the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. She'll be in to use me as practice target once again and to show all of us how to defend ourselves. So we got a lot going on. Get your note-taking materials ready, and we're going to start the show off today like we always do with true stories of self-defense coming out of the Concealed Carry magazine, and it's the April issue. Now, story number one is as follows. Georgia pastor stops home invader. A Cherokee County minister was at home with his wife and 3 children early one morning when he heard a noise of a break-in from his basement. Fearing for his family's safety, he took up a pistol and fired on the intruder, hitting him and putting him into flight. Responding police found the 19-year-old burglar in the yard of the victim's home with a gunshot wound to the head. The burglar will recover from his injuries, and police say the homeowner acted in self-defense and will not be charged. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my expert commentary. The Christian faith believes that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are worthy to enter heaven. Well, all this young intruder did was find a potentially quicker way to get there. Okay? The minister heard the break-in, got his gun, and stopped the intruder. ABC, 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is, and that's how you do it. Story number 2. Louisiana woman stops burglary. An Eros woman was awakened in her home by a loud noise. Taking a rifle with her to investigate, she found a stranger in the living room. She held the burglar at gunpoint for responding police, but he bolted from the home and escaped before police arrived. The man was later caught by police after resisting arrest was taken into police custody. My commentary. ladies and gentlemen, awakened by a loud noise in her house. What did the woman do first thing? That's right. She grabbed her rifle. And I'm going to bet you it was an AR-15, the black rifle. Okay, story number three. Florida Uber driver defends against attacker. A Sarasota Uber driver asked a belligerent passenger to leave the car. The customer finally did so, but immediately returned and escalated his aggressive behavior. Drawing his legally carried pistol, the driver warned the attacker away, but the man punched the driver and threatened to kill him. Fearing for his life, the driver shot the attacker in the leg, ending the attack. Investigating police determined the shooting was in self-defense and returned the victim's pistol after the investigation. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, having a weapon with you is great. Going to the range to shoot at paper is fun. But when carrying a weapon in a vehicle and having to use it quickly for self-defense, it can be tricky. To be good at these scenarios, you have to practice. Left hand, right hand, driver, passenger side, they all have their special training when using a firearm. So just having the gun is not good enough. You got to practice, okay? There's all these little different scenarios. That's why I'm saying it can be detrimental sometimes to do nothing but shooting at a piece of paper at a shooting range. It doesn't do anything to you except give you a paper cut. You need to shake it up a little bit and get these different types of training scenarios in there, especially in the car. If you got a gun in the car, it's because you're probably going to need it when you're in the car. And it's totally different in handling of that weapon than it is from drawing it from concealment out on the street or something. So we teach all that kind of stuff. Give us a call. Check us out at aaronsgunshop.com. At the High Cap Adventure page, we've got all sorts of training scenarios. So check that out, and we can help you out there. Now, as always, ladies and gentlemen, as I sip my cup of fresh Joe here, I'm going to give you my opinion piece. It may not be worth much, but hopefully it'll help somebody out. My opinion piece is titled, "It Can't Get No Worse." Ladies and gentlemen, those five words, "It Can't Get No Worse," can be extremely misleading. Just when you think you're at rock bottom and you can't take another step, someone rolls by you in a wheelchair with no legs. Just when you think the pain from a bum shoulder, bad knees, or arthritis is too much to bear, you drive by a person in an electric wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down, who can't feel a thing and steers his wheelchair with his teeth. Just when you think you're wearing Coke bottle bottoms for eyeglasses, someone passes by with a seeing eye dog because they're blind. My heart truly wishes that everyone could be 100% normal in all aspects when it comes to the human condition, but life is not fair. You and I are so-called normal one day, but the next tragedy happens and your life gets altered in a way that can be extremely difficult to live with. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. We've all been there because of disappointment and heartbreak, and it's okay for a bit. That's part of the human healing process. But after that bit, it's time to move on. We must remember there are those in much worse condition than we are. That's why I believe we must maximize our abilities and talents. We can do what some others can't. What a waste it would be, and what a shame it would be, if we were to live our lives only half lit. That's why when somebody tells me I'm burning the candle at both ends, I say, "You're right. Because it's better than being half lit." Doing things for ourselves is great too, but don't let it become obsessive. There's plenty of you and me to share with others for the common good of everyone. You and I possess that something unique and special that someone else around us doesn't possess, and vice versa. We're all members of the same body, both in the spiritual world and here in the flesh. We're able to complete each other in many ways. So looking in the mirror and saying, "Woe to me," is fine and dandy for a bit. Hurry and shake it off, because within each of us and every one of us is a powerhouse. Powerhouse of a person. When you're down, remember there is someone worse off. And when you remember that the one who has given you these blessings, and give them the thanks. Give him the thanks. Am I preaching to you? Not really. I just wrote this while looking in the mirror. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have awesome attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson and super attorney Rick Dodd, and I believe we're going to be going over restraining orders, so we'll see you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Are you fed up with sports talk shows that water down the truth and cover sports you really don't care about? Then it's time for Bleacher Bum Radio, Central Texas' only answer to those namby-pamby sports talk shows. Join me, Buffalo Bill Whitmire, and the Bleacher Bums on KMIL 105.1 The Ranch as we bring you all the hot takes with our own special brand of commentary on all things sports. From the guys who can't even get into the tailgate, Bleacher Bum Radio every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8:30 and again from 9:20 to 9:50.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody, to Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's April 28th, 2017. I've got attorney extraordinaire to my left, Benton Ross Watson, and super attorney Rick Dodd to my right. So it's a 1-2 punch today when it comes to restraining orders. That's what we're talking about, right, guys?
You bet.
All right. Well, look, we talked about it a little bit last week.
Three master key here.
Okay, well, she'll be in soon. Ross, why don't you touch on what you mentioned last week and say you guys explain how you're going to get more in-depth onto it so people can understand. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you got a question about this, 254-697-6633 is the number. You got two awesome attorneys here, and they're not going to cost you a dime, so give us a call.
Well, I was going to talk. I really wanted to get into some of the legal stuff and strategy things that are really cool from looking at it on the inside of the profession-wise, but somebody... this week told me, why is that interesting? What's important about protective orders, and what's exciting about this?
Is kind of boring, isn't it, Ross?
I don't think so.
It's boring until you need it.
It's boring when you write these things up, no doubt. And there's no doubt about that. And it's boring when you have to listen to the same family whining. You know, it's the same story almost every time when they come in, especially for a divorce.
Well, I would suggest that if you're living right, then it's boring.
Okay. Point taken. Yeah.
Well, I will say that I talk about on here all the time. The biggest problem, I feel like, to all the things that are going on in the world is that the family nucleus is broken down. And this goes directly to the heart of that, in my opinion. I feel like the whole thing, people don't understand, and I don't know your perspective thinking that people have gotten soft, but there's emotional and psychological abuse. There's people take advantage of one another. They use the kids as a pawn to control the other parent. It's a control game. And these emotional abuses really take its toll on the family. And they have a toll on the kids, and I'm glad that Rick is here. Maybe he can elaborate maybe on some of the psychological.
Well, what I was thinking about what you just said was the toll on the kids, I think, exposes itself a lot of times because we're seeing a lot of just out-and-out violence, and I think that has to do with the fact that children don't value life. And when I say children, I'm talking about youngsters in their 20s and teens that go out and commit violent crimes with guns and, you know, require us to fight back, if you may, because, like you say, the world is a jungle.
But it's also the thing about really, I do think that the women and men in general take advantage of the system, and I want to talk about that. But there is a big problem with aggressive behavior in relationships and people not knowing how to deal with it, and people being a whole lot more selfish. But the problem, as far as the children are concerned, is that this is a vicious cycle. You see, you have the psychological abuse going on, and all they're doing is continuing to witness either physical violence or maybe something that never gets put out into the public that's more mental and that controlling type of cruelty. And so they grow up to do these same things, and it just and that's why we have kids that constantly stay on welfare. Right, we because it's just a constant cycle. They're just doing what their parents did before them,
yeah, and nobody break that cycle. Yeah.
And so this, I mean, I can tell you from practicing ungodly amount of CPS cases, my first 2 or 3 years. I wish that some of you people that are listening today would go just on Fridays. On Fridays, go to the courthouse, and on Mondays, and go up there on a CPS day and just sit there for the whole day, and you're going to see the attorneys just like, I'm just so ready to go. But if you just listen to some of those cases, you're going to be like, there's an underground culture that a lot of people, I would say is average, but like I said, I don't know what that really means.
Well, it seems average on that Monday.
Hey, Trey, how's his voice coming through?
Thank you.
Yes, can you hear me on the microphone?
Yeah. Okay. You need to get a little closer to it. But
okay.
I
encourage people to come. I mean, we have open courts. It's open court provision in the Constitution. Come to the courts and look and see what's going on in your community. I think that maybe your eyes will be a little bit more wide open and seeing exactly what Judge Youngblood, bless his heart, has to deal with, right, on a constant, routine basis. And it is a problem. There is a problem because you've got, I'm not going to obviously quote the studies, but you have excessive irritability, sleep problems, emotional distress, fear of being alone, immature behavior, problems with toilet training, language development, ability, they don't have empathy, there's substance abuse problems, juvenile pregnancy, criminal behavior across the world. Across the world, the statistics are the same, which is what is so crazy to me. You know, we talk about statistics, and I talk about how they can be manipulated, but one thing that really sticks out, and I always talk about the child maltreatment stuff for CPS, and those are manipulated all the time by CPS, but the thing that really gets me is these statistics are pretty consistent across Africa, America, Europe. We to argue about the gun laws and everything, but is every study that's done, it doesn't matter in what part of the world, they find that kids that grow up in abusive homes have these problems 40 to 50% more likely than anywhere else. And they're all around the same percentage area. They're all around the same percentage area.
Okay, well, if you say that, then you can encapsulate it in saying abusive problem. What's causing the abusive problems?
Well, okay, so there's, in my opinion, there's several things. And yes, I don't think that the people were any better in the olden days. I think that there was probably still the abuse going on. But the thing about, and it's more to light today because we have all this social media, we have everything, that and people feel more comfortable standing up for themselves. But I think back then, people felt more loyal to each other. The family unit still didn't break up. Well, because of those things.
You were dependent on survival back then, too, right? So the family members had to help each other.
And so that's part, I would not fully argue with that. I would say that's probably a lot of that is true. But you had these people that had, and it was a lot of, that's why we have discrimination today, right? You had a class, a group of people, Irish, right, Italian, black, Mexican, Hispanic, all these people in their group. And so they felt confident about who they were, even though there was bad things going on. Today, everybody's alone. Okay, there's not these kinds of strongholds and these ties, community ties and family ties, and like I said, the nucleus that there used to be. And there was a whole lot of bad things that went on back then that are a lot better today. Me and Rick and I talk about this all the time. Where I said, "Oh, the good old days really weren't the good old days," but. Another thing is, and I always talk about government control. I mean, we've gotten family violence in and of itself, I think, is blown a little bit out of proportion. I talk about this when I did the seminars for the juvenile probation department. Here I talk about why it's natural, absolutely natural for brothers to fight.
Yeah, that's right.
It's absolutely natural for two kinfolk. And it's because we feel more comfortable with family. It's more private, okay? And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but when you have two young kids, I saw it in Harris County. I saw a kid 12 years old going to have a family violence charge. I mean, it didn't make any sense. I saw a kid, and then, you know, it's a family violence, and then he's got a stick, right? And so he causes somebody to, you know, bleed from their eye, and all of a sudden the district attorney's going after him for a felony. And I'm just like, man, come on.
Okay, but why does it even get out of the house? If you and I are brothers and I hit you over the head with a stick and you got a cut on your head, why does it even get out of the house? Why does a mom and dad say, hey, go in the backyard and solve this problem and I'll put some tape on it, you know?
That's because it's an endless cycle, and people, they weren't disciplined properly, and they probably don't know how to discipline properly.
I wrote this on a piece of paper so I wouldn't forget. How does this come into play? The entitlement attitude, me, me, me. I think that has a lot to do with it, too. Everybody's getting offended over something stupid, whereas before it was no big deal, and because of being offended, it's causing anger, aggression, and harm to one another.
Well, you jumped over my head on that one. I'm not sure what you mean by the entitlement attitude.
It's a me, me, me society. It's like, I deserve this. You may not have done squat, but you think you deserve it. Whereas back in the day when the family's together, you all help each other out. And now,
I know when my brother hit me with a stick, I probably deserved it most of the time.
And you see, I remember, you know, there's no doubt, even in my generation, and think about how far, not that you old farts, I'm just trying to say, but
you're a little older than you are, right?
But even from my standpoint, there's things that, gosh, if I think about if kids would have done today what I was doing in high school, that, you know, they probably wouldn't be going, I probably wouldn't went to law school, okay? And so it's, you know, and you see kids playing around. I think Rick was telling me, you guys, remember you were telling me about the poison that you guys were
oh yeah, arsenic, cotton poison. We just barefoot it and with shorts on, pouring it into the poison machine like nothing. No day tomorrow. Hey,
and I have no idea what you're talking about. Explain that.
Arsenic, you know, it's a heavy metal. Well, it causes all kind of neurological problems, and we used to spray it over cotton before it was stripped. and the stripper then would beat the leaves out, which we did.
Okay, gotcha.
And then today, you know, if CBS found out that your parents, if CBS found out your parents were doing that, they'd come after you for child abuse.
Probably so.
I mean, and they'd say you're subjecting this child to a deadly substance, and it's going to cause. And there, and to some degree, that's right. But it just goes to show that the fashions and the times do change a lot. And I mean, for some degree, it's
better.
Well,
do you think CPS has too much control, Ross?
Oh man!
Well, you are spouting out some good opinions here, so I'm.
Yes. I
bomb you on that one.
I believe that they do have a tough job, and there's so much turnover in that office. And you already know the cases that I've been on with CPS.
Oh, it's true.
And so I understand that I'm more biased than a lot of attorneys, and so I think that
well, I did my time in CPS court too, Ross. It was about 20 years before, maybe 30 years before you did yours. And I would suggest that things really haven't changed that much in that 30 years, because it was terrible back then, just as it is terrible now. But it is a special court, and it is a special place for terrible things.
Well, clarify what you mean by it's a terrible place, because
it means terrible,
of the
court,
of the cases that come in.
Yeah, oh yeah, all the cases. Stuff. They're just sad. You know, you look at them and you go, wow, what could be done to fix this? And the bottom line is, a lot of social change, just like Ross is talking about, has to happen if we're going to change it. But gosh, it hasn't changed.
And so, yeah, and I'm actually kind of torn from an economist point of view, from an economic point of view. Why not violate the sorry parents' rights and take the kids away? Because they don't need them. They're not going to help me from an economy standpoint. And so I really don't have that bad of opinion about what goes on, but from an individualist, liberty, passionate person that protects the Constitution, it's like I'm torn.
You know, all lawyers, they go to class and learn about the Constitution, and most of the judges in America are lawyers, and certainly in district court. So I really feel for the judges that have to make those decisions and decide to write on a piece of paper a order that takes a child away from not just his parents, and not just taking the child away from the parents, but also his brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts.
That kind of touches on a question I wanted to ask, and that is, I know that department is necessary because it gets to a certain point where you have to take care of the child.
But you have to.
But it seems from my angle and view, which is probably very limited, that every time I hear the bad case about CPS, it was too easy access to make that decision. That's my only glitch here. It seems or appears that at any moment they can come in and grab your kids. Shouldn't there be a solid, firm checklist, 1, 2, 3, before it gives the appearance of really easily just getting in there to take the kids away?
Well, I would suggest that maybe the places that you're getting your news from might be a little biased. I mean, if you look at a divorce case and you ask her, then he is a sorry SOB. And if you ask him, then she is something else.
And I understand that. So, I got no problems with that, but I'm just saying.
You know, as a lawyer, you're always making somebody mad. You know?
Yeah.
What's the checklist for a court before they go to do that?
Well, you got to look out for the best interest of the child, and that's a really broad term. What is the best interest of the child? Well, we know the best interest of the child is not served if their legs are being broken and their ribs are being crushed and their head's being banged.
And that's an obvious case.
Well, yeah, and I will say that is an obvious case. And, of course, the CPS needs to come in and take that child away immediately.
And I totally agree. I was talking about this stuff that's not so obvious.
Well, but where do you draw the line on what is not obvious? If the child is fixing to get banged on the head or fixing to get a broken leg, then we obviously need to do something too.
You can say that about any topic. So there's got to be something when it comes to taking somebody's child away. What's the basic top three things you're going to look at besides the obvious before somebody can come in and take your kids away? Is there any type of checklist? Like, you know how we were talking about?
Yes, they have about a 12-factor checklist.
Okay, but
really, it's all over the board. Those things are not exclusive. I mean, anything can, and the judges don't follow that to the T. I've only seen a couple cases do it. But
well, they are going to list at least one of those 12 things, and right. Even though it may be subjective, the judge then gets to look at it, and they're supposed to. I think the law says that we have to look at situations where there's been a report of abuse or suspected abuse.
Okay.
And then you got to realize, from the judge's standpoint, a lot of times I would get so mad at the court, right? You know this ain't right. You know that they don't have probable cause to do this, right? But if something happens to that kid, if something happens to that kid next weekend, the judge's head's on the block, right? And the judge is a political official, right? The judge is going to be responsible, just like all the other judges, when they let somebody out and then they go and kill somebody again.
So you got the checklist, but the asterisk at the bottom is CYA, right?
No, I don't know about that.
I wouldn't say. I meant what I said sincerely. Like, I meant the judge is going to err on the caution. Is going to err on the side of caution.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And so, a lot of times,
it's not just to cover his, but it's to take care of the child. Yeah. I mean, that's his bottom line, and he's got tough decisions. That's one reason I'm not a judge, because I just don't want to make those mm-hmm. kinds of decisions.
And so, yes, there are cases. Trust me, where CPS acts completely unreasonable, and I mean, they're just out of control. But from a standpoint, on a majority by majority. Case after case after case, you can't blame them, because after you see so many of those cases, just one after another, it's like, who do I believe?
Look, let me make something clear. I'm the devil's advocate here, okay? I'm the host of the show. I got you guys on. So there's people out there who've got questions that I'm asking, and so I'm asking on their behalf, and it goes both ways. So I want to be clear, everybody. I'm asking these things because on the outside view, especially depending on where you get your information from, you may hear things and you think CPS is nothing but bad, bad, bad. But, you know, there's other ways to look at it, too. So you got to get both sides of the story.
Well, certainly. See, you know, any person that works at CPS, God bless them. I mean, it's not really a sought-after job. It's not the kind of job that they're going to go buy their Mercedes with. And they have a stack of files. And yeah. All of these files are bad news. I mean, I've often thought about it and want to worship the ground they walk on, because if I had their job, I would just hate society in general, because
that's what
it's
I'm
all
saying.
Bad stuff.
Like, after you see just case after case after case, it's like you get brain. I feel like I would get brainwashed for sure.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that I stopped doing family law. I mean, it's just horrible stuff.
And okay, we sidetracked it from restraining orders into CPS. How does this all wrap up together?
Well, okay, so, I mean, you a lot of times, I mean, you should not hesitate to get a protective order if you feel like the relationship is getting out of control, right?
Well, if you feel endangered, that's the bottom line.
Right, but you can also, from a grandparent standpoint, right, a lot of times there was a Supreme Court case, Troxell versus Granville, and it said a lot of courts interpret this to say that grandparents have no rights. Okay, well, the Attorney General of Texas has been very clear. Okay, the grandparent possession access statute, right, is not unconstitutional on its face. Right, I've seen many cases where grandparents step in, right, into a situation that's not ideal. From the parents, maybe the parents don't need their rights terminated, but they're having some problems. Maybe one's doing a little bit of dope, can't really get off of it, but he's not really a bad dad. Mom's kind of just from job to job, and the grandparents step in and sort of pick up that role, and I love that. And when dad's doing something bad and you feel like that's putting your grandkid at jeopardy, I'm telling these grandparents on the air today, do not fear to jump in and file a protective order or something, because you, as a member of a family member, when you see some kind of family violence or you see something that's not right, and that can include abuse, which would include excessive drug use that may somehow affect the child, and based on the CPS cases, right, that come before Judge Youngblood that say just marijuana smoking, right, could harm the child. I think if you've got drug use in the house, okay, and it's prevalent and it's noticeable, I think you as a grandparent should at least try to step in, right, and jump in and help this family unit get back together. I'm not putting pressure on these people, obviously, but I feel like I commend those grandparents to do that. And so there's more than just a nasty divorce case where we can use protective orders. We can actually use these things, okay, to maintain a status quo, right, so dad can go to safety, so dad can go to rehab, or so mom can go and get counseling. I mean, and jump in and get the family back together, right? I know that these orders seem like they push people apart, but if we do it right, it's actually supposed to bring everybody back together. That's the whole point of the code.
Certainly, there's a whole lot more awareness about abuse and its relationship to addiction. today because of the opioid situation. My law firm's working with some counties regarding that opioid crisis. And there are a lot of studies out there about how it causes abuse within the family and then costs the counties with regard to extra CPS cases, with extra law enforcement cases. And
oh, that's right.
That sort of stuff is getting in the news so that grandparents should feel more comfortable now stepping in, because the truth is, when someone is addicted to drugs, they're addicted. And they, you know, their situation is such that they want drugs. They don't really focus on taking care of the family, which should be their focus.
And so I want to tell you, what does this have to do with restraining orders and things like that? Because as a, I'm not a, yes, battered woman syndrome exists, right? And the other kidnap syndrome, I just evade my mind right now. But
adults can take care of themselves.
Those things do exist, okay? And like I said, there is that psychological warfare that goes on in these relationships. And Judge Barry, I've been in front of him a lot on these EPOs, and he's ruled, I can't lie, very, very reasonably and soundly every time, because he realizes there's going to be that blame game going on, even if he lifts the EPO. Right, it's like, why did you call the police? You know, why did you do this? And there'll be that blackmail kind of guilt, even if he lets them go back in. Maybe there wasn't really a good basis for that, but he knows that he's not going to help anybody to let the parent go right back into the home right that quick, because it's only going to cause animosity. Okay, but I wanted to say this.
Even if both parties want it.
Right, they say they want it anyway, okay? But 146 women were killed by male intimate partners in 2016. 146 in Texas, okay, last year. And that's a 7.6% decrease in intimate partner homicides from the 158 count of 2015. Okay, and we've already talked about, I don't necessarily buy all of the DPS's and the FBI statistics, okay, and they're skewed, especially from the stuff that they don't count, like self-defense cases, they don't count that. But what I do believe is absolutely true is, unquestionably, more violence and more deaths occur in the home than anywhere else. Without a doubt, that is a true statistic, and it's by a large margin.
Why is it? Because of emotional connection, when the emotions get elevated as compared to somebody just robbing a place and it goes bad?
Well, you're passionate. Passions fly. Passion. You feel more comfortable with this person.
And familiarity. I mean, you spend a lot more hours there than you do, say, somewhere else, like church, where you should be spending more time, but yeah, you're still not going to be spending as much time as you do in the home.
And you're not, you know, and you're in the cover, you know, you're not in the public eye, and so people
cover,
the people take all the stress of today, and stress is that's been kind of debunked as far as family violence is concerned. But I feel like people are going to take everything and hold it in, and wait till they get home and take it out on somebody.
Okay, so I'm a fixer, man. I'm a fixer. So you got all this evidence and proof and documentation, everything you guys are saying, and it all boils down to each individual. What's causing all of us to get like this? You said it was a breakdown in the family, which I totally agree. So it's a major part of it. But what else? Is there anything else we can try and fix or promote?
I feel like there's instead of trying to just punish people and take away their weapons and say that they got to do all this stuff for a family violence case, I think we need a lot more education. I think the children, I don't know why we're so worried about punishing. We've already shown throughout the history of time, through the, you know, even from Europe and Great Britain, that the more you push somebody and you punish somebody, right, the more that they're going to resist, okay? And I understand that rational beings, right, from a standpoint of the higher the crime, the more deterrence, that comes to some degree. But after there's so much deterrence, and if there's so much punishment, right, people are going to feel like they have no out. I think if we start from the kids, instead of concentrating so much on the adults, and start focusing on the kids, right, and to maybe have teachers be more involved, have them more involved in school activities, maybe have more private fundraisers, the private donations, so to speak, to give back to maybe get these kids counseling, maybe to get these kids feel like they have attention, they have love, they have a place that they belong to, that they have a loyalty, so to speak. There's some community ties, right? I feel like that's why a place like Cameron, right, doesn't have as many as these problems. Like Camp Cameron actually wasn't one of the counties from 2009 that had a woman, a female, die as an intimate partner, a homicide. I mean, Falls County was one. Right? I mean, we're surrounded by them. And I feel like this was a, you know, it's places like this that have strong community ties and build people up. I'm not one of those that think it takes a community to raise a child, but I do think that, you know, having something that kid can cling to and say and be proud of.
Well, these days, Ross, what you're talking about costs money. And every time something comes up that's going to cost money, the voters vote it down. So we need to look at that. And I'm not saying we just got to throw money at every problem to fix it.
Yeah, I get that.
But when you have teachers that are making as low of wages as they are, where they're within the poverty level, you can't ask them to spend more and more and more time. So we need to think about funding these things. And it's been advocated all along, Ross. So people like us that agree with that, we need to push that. And I appreciate you saying it because it needs to be done.
I don't know, even though it has to be from a government standpoint. I'm just saying I wish people would get more involved and take – that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you're listening today, go to the CPS court one time. And just listen to what goes on in there. I think you'll be more apt, even if you're not a Christian, whatever. I think you're going to be more apt to say, okay, let's go and try to help some of these kids because they're just eating my tax dollars up.
Hey, right.
All you're doing is paying more money into the system when they don't figure out, right, how to grow up. Right? And they don't figure out how to cope with the real world.
So as Barney Fife might say, we got to nip it in the bud, right?
Well, I want to end with this. I think some of the biggest victims of domestic violence are the smallest. Okay, that's the whole point of the day, that some of the biggest victims of domestic violence are the smallest.
Well, that would make total sense. I mean, the ones who can't take control of the situation or defend themselves. I'm sitting back here. I mean, we're filming this. It's going to be on YouTube on Tuesday, and I'm just looking at the screen, and I'm seeing how I'm sitting back and turning my head back and forth, listening to each one of these guys, and thinking to myself, man, it appears hopeless. It's gotten to this point where it's like, how do you turn this thing around, you know? And you made this comment about how Milam County hasn't had one of those incidents because I believe real fast analysis would be smaller population, smaller towns, people know each other more, as compared to a larger community that has transient society where people are coming from all over the place and you don't get to know your neighbor.
Exactly. You have no ties.
No ties.
And there's no family unit, so there is nothing anymore. I mean, that's the problem.
So get to know your neighbors, I guess. Know your family first. Know yourself. Know your family. And
some of you probably know me a little too well.
All right, guys, we got about a minute. How do you want to close this up? Anything else you want to say? Because I want to make sure you tell everybody how to get a hold of y'all. But let's wrap this up, Ross. And
well, as far as this kind of law goes, the restraining orders, it's such a specialty that you really need to contact an attorney that does a lot of it, like Ross. My firm doesn't do any of that stuff. So I know a lot about it because I did it 30-something years ago, and I didn't like it because...
Greg doesn't get his boots dirty anymore.
Well, I wouldn't call it boots dirty. It was just...
He gets his boots polished, right?
But it just seems hopeless, and when you work on something that seems hopeless, it degenerates your enthusiasm, I guess, for your work. And I loved what I do. And I love to see Ross enjoying what he does. And, you know, Ross, I haven't been to CPS court, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to go check it out and see what happens and just sort of rejuvenate my...
I bet you leave early.
Would you advise, or could anybody go there? Would you advise somebody to go look at that to see what the heck can happen?
It's a public process. It's open to the public. Anybody can go and check it out and listen. I'm sure that if there's a little break, they could probably even go up and ask one of the attorneys involved what's going on here if they didn't understand it and probably get a little bit of insight. The judge probably would tell them if they asked him even what was going on. But it would be interesting. You learn a lot and see a lot of stuff. It's not all good. In fact, none of it's good.
And I mean, I'd say it wasn't even in a CPS case. Michelle Lemke, a family law specialist from Rockdale, love her to death, great attorney, had a jury trial with her on a child custody case. And, I mean, that was just like one of the hardest things I ever had to do. And mainly it was because we had to get a little six-year-old girl up there and just bawling her eyes out, and being forced by these nasty attorneys to tell on her parents. And that was just psychologically, I mean... it was horrible for that little girl. And so I would, if you guys would see that, you would think twice about breaking off a relationship that, you know, I mean, you would think twice about getting with somebody too. You would want to make sure that if you were going to get with somebody, you weren't going to just tear the family apart.
Yeah.
Like what we saw in the court that day.
Ross, how can everybody get a hold of you?
105 East Main Street. I'm here in Cameron, Texas. You can call me in Houston or Bryan College Station for an appointment. As well, you can email me at Benton@Watson.legal. That's Benton@Watson.legal, 254-605-4140,
254-605-4140. And Rick, I can't thank you enough for sponsoring the segment here. Why don't you tell everybody how they get a hold of you and Copeland with Dodd Krebs Law Firm?
Well, we have an office at 312 South Houston here in Cameron. We have an office in Temple, Conroe, and Austin. And you can go on the web at respectforyou.com.
You guys are nationwide.
Send us a little note on the web, and we'll respond to you and let you know what we can do for you.
All right, gentlemen, as always, it's incredible. 25 minutes here. So, ladies and gentlemen, this YouTube video will be up probably, like I said, Monday or Tuesday. Check it out. You can review all the other ones there at Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. Guys, thanks a lot for coming on. And Trey, let's take a break. When we come back, if there's time, I may come on for some quick topics of interest. Otherwise, we're going to have delicious Janae Goodman coming on.
I would encourage everybody to go down to the Mount County Theater tonight and tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Cabellino, Dodd,
good show on. Gentleman that was in here just a while ago, Mr. Whitmire. He's a star. Y'all need to go check it out.
Yeah, check it out. He's got the show on before us, and he's doing a good job. So check him out there as well. And Trey, take us out. And when we come back, it'll be either me or the delicious Janae Goodman. We'll see you on the other side.
Oh, wait. Oh.
Power. Sometimes you just need more.
But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Are you fed up with sports talk shows that water down the truth and cover sports you really don't care about? Then it's time for Bleacher Bum Radio, Central Texas' only answer to those namby-pamby sports talk shows. Join me, Buffalo Bill Whitmire, and the Bleacher Bums on KMIL 105.1 The Ranch as we bring you all the hot takes with our own special brand of commentary on all things sports. From the guys who can't even get into the tailgate, Bleacher Bum Radio every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8:30 and again from 9:20 to 9:50.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you concerned?
comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
My lovelies, I've got a special request to fill for today's topic, so I want to share the ins and outs of food preservation. Hopefully this isn't a dry segment. Not even a chuckle? Ouch! So whether you're looking back on waste and spoilage, or you need a new hobby, or you're gearing up for World War III, I've got you covered. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. So I want to put this in perspective for you. The first refrigerator wasn't available for home use until about the 1900s. So how did our ancestors store their food? Well, it's easy to guess that they used snow during the colder seasons, but what about those areas with warmer weather or areas that didn't have snow at all? Well, unless they wanted to starve or eat spoiled foods, they had to find a way to do it, and they had to find a way to make it last quick. Preservation is the act of increasing a food's shelf life by limiting the growth of harmful bacteria and microorganisms. And some of the earliest versions go back to about 12,000 BC. Some methods include drying or dehydration, canning, smoking, pickling, salting, and freezing. Many of us already know about freezing everyday items, and they can last for about a year. So I'll focus more on the other methods for the next couple of weeks. Today I want to talk solely about drying and dehydration. I feel like this is the easiest of the methods to work with, so we'll call this beginner territory. To dehydrate something is to remove the moisture from it. This can be achieved by hanging a product, exposing it to a low heat for a really long time, or by using a dehydrator. I understand that a dehydrator may not be the most financially available thing, and that's okay. Your oven will work just as well, you just have to keep an eye on your food. For one of the earliest examples of drying that I can think of is seed saving. Keep in mind that there wasn't an abundance of grocery stores or vehicles back then, so people had to live off of the land and they ate what they could find. Once they found produce items, these seeds were dried and saved for next year's planting season. Because of this, early civilizations didn't have to hunt for their fruits and vegetables every year. They simply used the seeds that they had from their previous harvest. This practice actually led to some of the first gardens. If you choose to practice seed saving at home, make sure that you rinse and dry your seeds and store them in a cool, dry place. If stored improperly, your seeds can become moldy. Once you have an established garden, you can save your seeds and you don't have to worry about buying new ones. Seeds aren't the only thing that you can dry either. Herbs can be hung and dried after being rinsed, and they can be pat dry and used with a napkin to make sure that they don't cause any mold. Once they're dried, you can keep them in small jars and ground them down when you're ready to use them. This drying process usually takes about a week. Dehydration can be achieved by salting an item as well. Salt naturally draws out the moisture, therefore making your items less susceptible to microorganisms and harmful bacteria. I imagine that salting was handy as far as adding flavors to foods that were being preserved as well. Typically, you'll see this method with fish and some meats, pork being a popular option here. I'm going to give you a helpful tip as well. If you're using a salted product, be sure that you rinse the salt off and dry it before you utilize it. That salt can transfer into your food. The top request I get is how to make jerky. I've actually never made my own jerky before, so I wanted to try out the process before I shared it with you guys. This week, I took the time to do just that. So I took a different couple of cuts of meat to see if there was a favorable one. They're all flavorful. I used a steak. I used a flake steak and a top round steak, and they were both marinated with the same spices, and I cut them in two ways. I did one against the grain and one with the grain. So here's what that means. Your meats have a natural fiber in them, and it looks kind of like strings. So when you cut with that pattern, it makes for a chewier product, and when you cut against that pattern, it makes it a little easier to digest. So if you're using against the grain, that'll be for something that you want just as a quick snack, and with the grain will be more for those head-jerking jerky eaters, the people who really like to pull back and eat their jerky. So I did mine both ways just to see if I liked one more than the other. But whenever you're cutting your meat, what I would suggest, instead of cutting straight down with your product, angle your knife and slice this way. That way you have a kind of a thicker product instead of just going straight down. For my meat, I used about 1/4 of a cup of soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce, 1 tablespoon of honey, 1/2 a tablespoon of red pepper flakes, and a teaspoon each of onion powder, garlic powder, and black pepper. First, you'll want to pound out the protein if you're not using a thinner cut of meat. And this is to ensure that you have not too thick of a product. Next, cut that meat into even strips. And as mentioned before, it can be done against or with the grain. And then put your sliced meat into a Ziploc bag along with your marinade. Let this sit in your fridge for about 2 to 3 hours or overnight. When you're ready to dehydrate your product, preheat your oven to about 175 degrees Fahrenheit and dry those strips with a paper towel. Lay them out on a wire rack and put that wire rack above a sheet tray that is covered with foil in order to catch your oil. Don't let the strips touch. You'll let that dry for about anywhere from 2 to 5 hours in your oven. I did mine for about 3 hours, and honestly, I feel like I could have even gone longer than that. So next time, I think I'll be keeping a closer eye on removing that fat. So this fat here, that globule that you see, can actually lead to the rancidity of your product. So I'll be sure to get more of that out next time. And of course, like I said, keeping it in the oven longer as well. The jerky tastes great. I got a comment from the guys here at the station, but I do feel like it's still rather moist. So Trey actually recommended that I get a desiccant, which is something that draws out moisture for your product as you're keeping it. So I hope that I've given you plenty of tips and tricks to store for your own use down the road. And be sure to join me next week, if you can, to talk about all the other preservation methods. As always, be sure to drop a line at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. And until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a wonderful Saturday, the last Saturday of April. Just think, income tax is 2 weeks past due. If you hadn't paid yours yet, I gave IRS a couple of thousand this year, so they ought to be happy. And on top of that, just think, we're only just a few short weeks away from summer camp for NFL football. Woo-hoo! So, you know, we're getting to kind of get excited here a little bit. You know, today, to be honest with you, this is my first day back in the studio after about a 3.5 month hiatus wearing nothing but a boot on my foot. Broke my foot in about three places, pulled some tendons loose, decided to see how many more I could break. And so I was in the comfort of my home doing the radio show, but now I'm back and alive. Got me a wonderful little gift given to me for being back, and I'll enjoy that tonight after about 7:30 or 8. And then we're going to just get alone here today. We're going to talk a little bit about something that's really near and dear to my heart. For about the past year and a half, I have worked for a very large law firm out of the Bryan-College Station area doing investigations and CRT work for auto crash. And one of the things I found is that most people, they really don't know what to do when they've been involved in an auto crash. And I talked about this about a year ago, but the last few what we call intakes that I've done, people have really been just kind of flabbergasted because, unfortunately, many of your local police departments have quit giving information out to the people that are involved in the crashes. In other words, what they're doing is, used to, when you'd have a crash, and by the way, we don't call them accidents anymore or wrecks anymore. Under the great state of Texas, they're all crashes now because nothing is an accident, according to them. But if you've been involved in a crash, a lot of times you wonder what the other person's name is, what their insurance information is. And unfortunately, or fortunately, they used to, they have what they call driver exchange cards. A person would fill out the card about themselves, and then the other person would fill out the card about themselves, and then the police would have each other exchange the cards. And then some departments who have the MDTs, the mobile display terminals inside their patrol cars, all they'd have to do is push a button, and it would spit out the information about the other car and driver, and then he would give that to the opposite driver. Well, for whatever reason, and I've got my own opinions about why this is, local police departments have pretty much quit doing that, including the highway patrol. One of the things that I think is because they get to sell those reports for anywhere from $5 to $10, and it's a money-making process now for those entities. But one of the things that I'm going to try to talk about today is, what do you do when you're involved in a crash? There's so many things that people do and don't do, and so many things people could do that would alleviate a lot of the heartache of being involved in a crash. You know, what would you do if you're driving along if you hit another vehicle or a pedestrian? When that happens, many times, number one, we're in such a severe emotional state that a lot of times we just don't think straight, especially if you feel like the other person's at fault. And while I'm talking about that, let's talk about at fault for just a moment. A law enforcement officer, I don't care who they are, what department they're from, what agency they're from, they're not going to determine fault usually in a crash. They're going to just report the facts. In other words, if someone comes up to a stop sign and there's a car coming that doesn't have a stop sign and somebody stops, they legally stopped, but they pull out in front of another car and cause a crash, they're still at fault, even though they did stop at that stop sign. A lot of people think, well, I stopped at the stop sign. I mean, why am I getting a ticket? Why am I getting a citation? Well, for one thing, stopping is just not all that's required. You have to stop and yield right-of-way. That little triangle sign that says yield right-of-way, that is the same as a stop sign, except just a different color. If a car is coming, you got to stop. You got to yield to them. If a pedestrian is crossing a road, you got to yield to them. Now, I realize there are a lot of people that do jaywalking, and you think, how many points is that for hitting somebody that's jaywalking? Well, there's no points in real life. And so what I want to talk about briefly is, what do you do? We know if you look at your insurance card, most of you get an insurance card when you pay your high-dollar insurance. If you look on the back of it, they have some ideas and they have some tips on what you need to do when you're involved in a car crash. Well, the first thing you need to do is read it. So many people just like when they see when they get a new computer program, at the bottom it says read all this stuff and you check I have read and understand. How many of you actually read that stuff? I don't, and I'm sure most people out here don't. But you need to read some things that are on the back of your insurance card. Those ideas, those tips, everybody, and I say everybody, I would be venture to say 99.9% of the people in this country now have a smartphone. That smartphone has a camera in it. And unless you're laying on a stretcher being taken to the hospital, take pictures with that phone. You know, so many of the people that I do intakes for with the law firm, they send me photographs, they have photographs, they've taken pictures of their car, but they also take pictures of the other person's car. There's nothing illegal about doing that. The people can't stop you. The police can't stop you from doing that. It is a free country when you're out in the open, so you can take all the photographs you want. And there's nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong, with just asking the other party, well, do you mind if I see your insurance card? And then show them your insurance card as well. So, a couple of things. Now, the cardinal rule for all car crashes is that you should never leave the scene until it's appropriate to do so. You know, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that says, well, you know, we decided we weren't going to call the police. We decided we're just going to settle it amongst ourselves. You better think twice before you do that, folks. You better think real, real hard before you do that. Because I'm going to tell you what, there are many times when those people decide they're going to sell it amongst themselves, so they take their car to their body shop, and the body shop says, well, instead of being what you thought was just a little over $300 or $400 fender bender, ends up being a several $1,000 crash because there's hidden damages that you didn't see. And now they want to go back to the police, and they want a report done. Almost too late, folks. You need to understand that if you want to call the police, and you should call the police on every single crash, every single crash, you should call the police, even in private parking lots. Have them come out, have them document it. Now, I will tell you this also, and don't get angry with cops or the police or the highway patrol. If you have a crash that's on a private parking lot, such as a Dairy Queen, Walmart parking lot, such as the parking lot down by Brookshire Brothers, or wherever it may be, the police department is not going to do a full crash report unless there's somebody that's seriously injured or injured in the crash. All they're going to do is do a documentation in the whatever computer program they use that shows that they responded to the location. This is what happened. This is the time it happened. They're not required by law to do any kind of crash report. Now, the other thing I'll talk about is when you go down, and like I told you just a few minutes ago, most law enforcement agencies now are not sharing the other driver's information with the other drivers. But you was fine enough, you were cordial enough that you got the information that you needed, but you really want to see what the police put on their report. Well, I'm telling you, the police aren't always accurate on what they put on the report. I did one just a couple of days ago in Killeen. And when I found out that they said the injured party did this, the uninjured party did this, well, they had the cars reversed. The person who was injured was not the one who was at fault, vice versa. So read the report. But when you go down to get the report and you say, okay, the crash happened 2 days ago and I want my report. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. The police department, the highway patrol, the sheriff's office, whoever does your crash report, they have 10 working days to be able to finish that report and get that report out. 10 working days. So you going down there, raising cane, jumping up and down, turning cartwheels in the lobby of your local law enforcement agency, demanding your report, is not going to get your report any quicker. You got to have patience, folks. And besides that, most people, and this is really important, most people rely on their insurance company to be able to get the report for them. You know, the insurance companies, they have funds to pay for that. You're going to have to pay for it. They're not going to give it to you free. No law enforcement agency is going to give it to you free unless you got a special buddy or something that works there. And most times they have to track those things, so don't go down expecting something for nothing. But as I was saying, you make sure that you do not leave the scene of the crash. You make sure you stay there. Now, especially if it's a hit-and-run accident where you were the victim and the other party left, you stay at the scene. Now, some people say, well, we're in the middle of traffic. We need to move cars. Well, unless you're directed to by your local law enforcement officer or the dispatcher, it's best not to move your car. The location of your car tells a lot of details about where your car's at, what happened, and that police officer is then going to have to document that. Now, I will tell you this, though, and I listen to this carefully. There is one exception to that rule. If you're hit by another car in a deserted area, use caution when you stop and where you stop. If it's out in the middle of nowhere and you're by yourself, especially if you're a female and you don't think you can protect yourselves. Now, if you're carrying your gun, you think you can protect yourself, absolutely do what you need to do. But take it to some place that has a well-lighted parking lot or a parking lot where there's people, such as a gas station, a local stop-and-rob convenience store, wherever you may go. Now, one of the things also is that if someone gets out, and here's what we've seen more likely than not here lately, and I don't understand this because I don't think anybody plans on having a car crash. A lot of people get out of their car, especially those people that's got a brand new car or a car that's relatively new, and they start raising all kinds of cane. They jump up and down, they cuss, they get mad, they blame the other driver, this, that, or the other. There's no need for that, folks. There's no place for that. They're called, and I'll go back to what they used to be called. They were called accidents. They weren't called purposes. People did that by an accident. It's an accident that happened. You losing your temper, or you raising cane, you saying things, you cussing at a person, you using obscene language toward a person, that doesn't get the situation resolved any quicker. It just makes the matter worse. The first thing you need to do when you're in a crash is you need to check on the passengers and the drivers. It's incumbent upon you. You know, you can fix cars, but you can't fix people sometimes. So you need to check on the driver, especially if you've got elderly or small children in the car. You know, you're not a medical, unless you're a medical personnel, let them sit there if they say they don't feel well. Let them get out if they get out. The next thing you do is you immediately call 911. Like I said, I don't care where it's at. Where it's a parking lot or what happens, you call 911. Follow the directions of the dispatcher. You have provided what you need to provide by law if you call and report it and if you stay on the scene. If a person tells you, I'm going to leave and come back, they're not coming back, folks. You stay there. Let that other person deal with the law enforcement when they get filed on for what is called FSRA. It's fail to stop, render aid. That could be a misdemeanor. If someone's hurt, it becomes an immediate felony. And like I said, be a polite person. Exchange that information that if you can. You know, if you jump out of your car and you blurt out, XXXXX, obviously you're not going to be real cordial to that person. If that particular person gets out and starts raising cane with you, all you got to do is you just got to lock your doors, wait for the law enforcement agency. But whatever. You know, the fault determination is usually faulted by insurance companies. It's not by your local law enforcement there on the scene, so don't ask them. Also, and this is real important, I'm running short of time here, but this is real important, folks. If you're at a car crash and somebody comes up to you and they say, I saw what happened, I'm a witness if you need something, ask them to let you look at their driver's license, snap a photograph with your phone of their driver's license, or take down their name, address, and their phone number. Make sure you get a good, viable phone number for someone who's involved that may have seen what happened to you. The next thing you need to do after the scene has all been cleared is you need to contact your insurance company. And you say, well, it's not my fault. Why do I need to contact my insurance? I'm telling you, folks, trust me, you need to contact your insurance company because there may be a lot of things that will happen that the other person won't take ownership of. So, one of the things that I'm going to tell you, and the last thing I'm going to tell you, because I am out of time now, the last thing I'm going to tell you is do not be afraid if you feel that you were wronged or some other person was there, and this is only, in my mind, if you're injured, call you a local lawyer. Let them handle the case for you. Now, they won't fix everything, but I'm telling you what, they might get you some help where you couldn't get help from other sources. The one thing, though, is, remember this, remember, cars can be fixed, bodies can't sometimes. So, folks, I hope this has given you some insight about car crashes. I know I've seen a lot of car crashes this last couple of weeks or this last, actually, last year and a half, where a lot of people can't say, well, I wasn't at fault. It was that other person's fault. Well, none of us wants to take responsibility sometimes when we've done something wrong. But it's up to whatever the law enforcement officer puts on that accident report, that crash report, as we call it now, whatever he puts on there, the insurance company is going to determine. You've got rights. Understand those rights. If the report is wrong, call them out on it. Get somebody to help you. You might have to call a lawyer to do that. If that's the case, we've had a couple lawyers in here earlier today that they're good people to call. But if not, just be calm, be clear, and make sure that you get all the information you can. Document the cars with photographs. So until next week, everybody, I hope you have a great, great week ahead. It's great to be back. Stay out of trouble. And I'm about to give up on the Rangers, but the Astros are doing well. Have a great day.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MISO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Are you fed up with sports talk shows that water down the truth and cover sports you really don't care about? Then it's time for Bleacher Bum Radio, Central Texas' only answer to those namby-pamby sports talk shows. Join me, Buffalo Bill Whitmire, and the Bleacher Bums on KMIL 105.1 The Ranch as we bring you all the hot takes with our own special brand of commentary on all things sports. From the guys who can't even get into the tailgate, Bleacher Bum Radio every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8:30 and again from 9:20 to 9:50.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company. For friendly service and quantity work, stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life,
697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's April 28, 2018, and it was good to have the chief back here in the seat in the studio. It's good to have you there, Chief.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. It's good to be back in amongst the living.
Okay. Well, look, everybody, I wasn't able to do the topic of interest because we had some other great stuff coming on, and we ran a little bit late on the attorney segment, which was great. So let me give you what's coming up here in the near future. May 4th, that'll be the first Friday of the month, is two for night. If you want to go shooting on the range, your guests can shoot for free. Range time is free. That's the first Friday of every month. Second Friday of every month is our round robin competition. That'll be May 11th this month. And I believe we're going to have a gas grill, barbecue gas grill, for the prize. So, you know, starting off the spring and, spring and summer seasons here with the barbecue, and it would be nice to have a nice barbecue grill. So if you win the competition on the second Friday, which is May 11th, you take home a gas grill. And no, I'm not going to put it together for you. It'll be in a nice box so you can stick in the back seat of your car. May 12th. This is going to be big. Huge. May 12th is the all-ladies radio show here. Aaron's High Cap Adventures being taken over by the ladies. They're going to do everything lady-wise, directed toward the ladies. And guys, yes, you're going to listen. And you're going to love it and like it. You got it? So we're going to have a good time doing that. I'll be here. I'll be in for a couple of very short bits. But primarily, it's going to be all the ladies. We're going to have Nurse Connie on. We're going to have Coppolino Dodd Krebs, Connie on. We're going to have Master Key on and Delicious Jay Goodman, Janae Goodman, and Patty Marek and Susan Connolly. We're going to have all the ladies that are helping me out with the program, and it's going to be a good show. So you need to stay tuned for May 12th. May 13th, of course, is Mother's Day. So guys, take care of your moms. Daughters, take care of your moms. You only got one, so make sure you take care of her. May 18th is Ladies' Night. That'll be the third Friday of every month. And I don't care how you... Trey, help me out. I don't care how you what? When it comes...
How you identify.
How you identify. Okay, I don't care how you identify. If one of you identifies as a woman, you're going to shoot for free that night, okay? So that's the third Friday of every month. Don't forget, we've got seminars, training seminars. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page and look at all the different types of seminars we have. Give me a group of five or more, and we'll set up a date for you. And also, License to Carry. I had some people calling me about a License to Carry class. We just got done with one, and I'll be setting up another date. And just check out aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the LTC page, and you'll see the date, and you can sign up there. Also, for refresher people, the new course for new licensees is $60. My class is $60. But if you got a license already and you want to take a refresher course, click on the $40 one, and we'll sign you up to participate in that class as a refresher student. I don't have to do as much paperwork on you, so that's why it's a little bit cheaper. But anyway, it's very important if you got a license to carry to be refreshed on the laws and how to handle your weapon. Okay, now I want to go into the product spotlight. I talked about this product some time ago, but I was having a conversation with some people, and this gun kept coming up. So I wanted to ad lib it here, but ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer is sponsor of this segment, known Arch for a long time. He's a great friend, great guy. He's got a great shop there with a whole bunch of guys doing a great job. And that's Clint, Mike, Dennis. They've got pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammos, accessories, holsters, knives, the whole works. Check them out in Heidenhammer. And they've got this one sitting on the shelf, and that's the Taurus Public Defender. It comes in 45 Long Colt and 410 shotgun shells, or 410 gauge. It's a double action, 2-inch. This one's particularly black with the polymer frame. And if you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you get to see the picture of me holding it up. Now, let me talk. I want to ad-lib this a little bit. I don't want to really read anything because I've had experience with this gun, and I promote this handgun, especially for women. Or somebody who can look in the mirror and say, I'm not going to do any training because I don't, whatever the reason is, but I've got to have something in the home to defend myself. Get this mental picture in your head. A 38 snub-nose revolver. You got that in your head? A little snub-nose revolver. Well, this one, the Public Defender, the Taurus Public Defender, looks like that, only it's a little bit bigger. And what's nice about it is it's multifaceted. Since it takes the 45 long Colt round or a 410 shotgun shell, which you can either use birdshot, buckshot, slug. You've got 5 rounds to this Taurus Public Defender. You can have it strictly filled with buckshot. So if you're a woman in your bedroom and you feel danger encroaching you and somebody on the other side of the door and they're about to break in reality, in a matter of 2 or 3 seconds, you can put out 15 pellets of buckshot at that bedroom door. That's a wide dispersal rate ammunition, okay? You don't have to be a marksman. You don't have to be well-trained. You just point the gun in the right direction and pull the trigger with some form of stability, and you're going to have a lot of shells, a lot of buckshot going downrange. Now, if the buckshot may bark a little bit too much, you could put birdshot in it. I tell you what, I don't want to be hit with a whole bunch of birdshot. And if for some reason you're out in the country and you see a hog going by and you need to take that hog down because it's taking down your corn, you can put a slug in your public defender with the 410 shotgun shell, or you can put a 45 long Colt and use it that way. So you have a very diversified revolver. And the other nice thing about this particular gun is that it's an idiot gun. Once you load it, all you got to do is pull the trigger. Now, it's a double action revolver. If you've ever taken my class, you know all the differences between the actions. This is a double action, and all that means is if you have the gun in your hand and the hammer is in the down position, all you got to do is pull the trigger. Pull it, pull it, pull it. 5 times, you got 5 rounds being fired. Or before you pull the trigger, you can cock the hammer first, then pull the trigger. And the difference between those two is poundage. The trigger, when the hammer is in the forward position, takes about 8 to 12 pounds of pressure to pull the trigger. When the hammer's cocked, it sets the trigger back, which causes the poundage on the trigger to be anywhere from 3 to 5 pounds. So if you need that gentle shot, the more accurate shot, the more delicate shot, you can cock the hammer first and then use the tip of your finger to pull the trigger or squeeze the trigger and make the gun fire. If you're in aggressive mode and you need some fast firing with ammo going down range, you put that first knuckle over that trigger, pull 5 times, and you got 15 pellets of buckshot heading down range. So it's an idiot gun. If for some reason round number 1 doesn't go off because of a bad primer or whatever, you pull the trigger again, as compared to an automatic pistol where you'd have to cycle it, take the mag out, cycle it, get the bad cartridge out. This is an idiot gun. You pull the trigger. If that doesn't work, you pull it again. Ladies, elderly, people who don't practice, this is a fantastic firearm in your home defense arsenal because it's small, compact, and manageable, and it's diversified in its effects as to what you can do with it. Now, if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, once again, you'll see the picture of it. With one hand, you can fire it. With 2 hands, you definitely can fire it, depending on your size. And this one takes 2 3/4 inch or 2.5 inch shells, whereas the larger size judges, Taurus judges, take the 3-inch shells. This one takes the 2.5-inch shell. And the reason I say that is because the 3-inch shells with buckshot have 5 pellets in it. The 2.5-inch shells have 3 pellets in it. But regardless, when you got 5 rounds times 3 pellets each, that's 15 pellets going downrange. So it's a good gun for defense. It looks pretty sexy, too, if you look at it. So once again, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, take a look at it, and then give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417. It's 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it on the radio, you saw the picture on Facebook, and tell them you want to buy it. And if it's gone, they can order you another one. It's a fantastic gun to have in your arsenal for self-defense or just personal carry. License to carry, because it's not that big, especially for a larger person. You wouldn't even notice that it's on you as compared to the small snub nose. So that's it. Check out ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-983-4417. Trey, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to come right into a previously recorded session of my 7 steps of preparedness. Very important, especially for those people who are being concerned about what's going on in the world today.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Are you fed up with sports talk shows that water down the truth and cover sports you really don't care about? Then it's time for Bleacher Bum Radio, Central Texas' only answer to those namby-pamby sports talk shows. Join me, Buffalo Bill Whitmire, and the Bleacher Bums on KMIL 105.1 The Ranch as we bring you all the hot takes with our own special brand of commentary on all things sports. From the guys who can't even get into the tailgate, Bleacher Bum Radio every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8:30 and again from 9:20 to 9:50.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rocktail at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rocktail. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rocktail, 254-721-2775. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're back, April 28th, 2018. We're going to go right into a previously recorded segment. I was having a conversation with a few people concerning the world events and conspiracies and all that, and I saw stress. I've gone past that. So you're going to hear my 7 points of preparedness. And listen up. I lived it, okay? I've experienced it, and don't go through it. So listen to the 7 points of preparedness. And I'm telling you, if you listen to me, you're going to be all right. You're going to be okay. So go ahead, Trey, play it. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's October 7, 2017. We're coming up on our last 27 minutes of the show. And in this segment, I don't have an interview, really. I just going to tell you some of my thoughts. And basically, I was thinking about preparedness. And I'll tell you why I was thinking about preparedness when I was preparing for the show. It had to do with Vegas, the Las Vegas shooting. And I was just watching everybody, and I'm saying, how do you prepare for that? How do you prepare? There's ways to prepare. Don't misunderstand it. For example, if you're in that large crowd, you always want to know where your exits are. You want to know. You want to get a good glance at the things around you just to get a good idea of what's happening. For example, if I'm in a restaurant, I usually pick the seat that's to the wall. I want to observe my entry points, my windows, who's in there, who the help is. Is there anybody strange in there looking that I'm kind of concerned about? Things of that nature. So there's always ways to prepare. And I was doing that based on the Las Vegas shooting, looking at the footage of people just standing there and then falling down to the ground, just waiting to be shot. So there's definitely things you can do, but I'm sure it's limited when you're de-armed
And even if you were armed, there wasn't really anything you could do. So the seven stages of preparedness is based on my life. But let me go over something here. I had a red pill moment in 2006. And until that point, I was consuming blue pills. And for me, blue pills were idealism, purism, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. Remember that commercial? Serve your country blindly. The news speaks the truth, the facts, etc., etc. So before I go any further, I want to make sure you all understand blue pill, red pill. Because Janae and I were discussing, is it the red pill or is it the blue pill? Which one is it? So Trey, talk to us and tell us where that concept comes from, the movie, and tell everybody so we're up to speed here.
All right, so several years back, about several years, I mean like 15, 16, 17 years back, there's a movie that came out. It's fairly a popular movie called The Matrix. Now, the whole concept behind this movie was all of reality that people saw was actually not real. It was in their heads. And there were a group of people that were outside of it. They had figured out, and they could get in and out of this sort of dream world. But when they would find someone they felt could help them with their struggle, they would offer them a blue pill and a red pill. With the blue pill, they stayed in the dream. Everything seemed normal. Everything was fine. They took the red pill, and they got to look behind the curtain, so to speak, if you remember your Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. You know, if you saw the wizard, his big head floating, right? But if you look behind the curtain, you saw the real story, what was really going on behind the scenes. And that's kind of what Matt's talking about. You take that red pill, start learning what's might actually be going on behind the scenes, not what we're being fed or being led to believe.
Now, there's a difference, everybody, because I was there, too. You live in this idealism, this purism type of lifestyle, thinking of the way it's supposed to be. But when somebody presents it to you that it's not that way, in a very good, precise manner, somebody you trust, and you refuse to search it out yourself, then, you know, you're just lost. Who wants to be led by others? Who wants their life dictated by others? I guess the weak do, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, my red pill moment came to me when I watched the Zapruder film of President Kennedy being shot and all the other footage they conveniently didn't promote because it shows the contradiction of a one-shooter scenario. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. He was not shot by one shooter. You can say what you want. You can say I'm a conspiracy theorist. I don't care. I see it. When you get shot in the chest, you clench your hands to the front. When you get shot and your head blows off from the rear or the side, I mean, you can tell bullet trajectories, okay? And I'm not going to get into here. I guess I could, but I'm not going to. But as the red pill went through my system, I just realized how behind the curve I was when it came to being ready for life in general. I don't trust the government to be there for me when calamity hits. I don't. I've seen it up there in New York when a hurricane hit up there. And people were screaming, why aren't you coming to help me? Why aren't you coming to help me? Well, get off your duff and do something about it. So with that, let me tell you about my red pill moment and what happened here. And I got the seven stages of preparedness. And if you can call in if you want, 254-697-6633. And Trey and Janae, you just chime in when you're ready. But here are the seven stages of preparedness. And this is my life. You may do something else. You may have a 1A or a 2B or a 3C. I don't know. But here we go. Stage number one is ignorance. Lack of knowledge or information. I was in idealism, purism, thinking this is the way it is. My life was dictated by how I was raised. You know, that's a good way to be raised. You know, with good, pure thoughts and love of country and all this kind of stuff. But if you're ignorant to what's really happening behind the curtain, it can cause problems. So which brings us to stage number two in my life. Realization. That's an act of becoming fully aware of something as a fact. So when I'm doing my homework in my research and I all of a sudden I see things and I swallow that red pill, oh my gosh, the world opened up, the curtain was drawn back and I saw what was really happening. It's all a lie, a manipulation, a perversion of how it's supposed to be. And because of that, I go to stage three. Stage three is panic. Sudden uncomfortable fear or anxiety, often causing wildly unthinkable behavior. Once I realized
how far behind the curve I was of preparedness, I freaked out. I go, oh my gosh, I see the world, the curtain's drawn back, I see the world for how it is, it's all a sham, nobody's going to help me but me. And so there I go. I'm just doing what it takes to get ready. And because of that, stage four comes. Burnout. Physical or mental collapse caused by overwork or stress. I was going so fast, so hard, so strong, so one-minded on getting prepared, I burned out. And you know what happens when you burn out? You just don't care anymore. You're wasted. Your brain is drained, okay? Which brings you to the next stage, and that's recovery. Recovery, a return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength. So I sit back after saying I got to take a break from all this stuff. I sit back, and I'm like, okay, I got my strength back up. My brain's recouped. The whole works. And then I reevaluate it and go to number six, stage six of preparedness, and that's modify. Make partial or minor changes to something, typically so as to improve it or make it less extreme. So here I'm saying, oh my gosh, I'm way behind the curve. I've burned out in the process of getting prepared. I finally recovered. I said, okay, look, it still exists. The guy behind the curtain is still there. The lies are still being said. I understand it now, but you know, I know how to handle it better. So I'm going to modify it and adjust it, which brings me to stage seven, and that's maintain. Cause or enable a condition of state of affairs to continue. Matt's seven stages of preparedness is ignorance, realization, panic, burnout, recovery, modify, and maintain. So where are you on the list? Where are you on the stages of preparedness? Trey, Janae, what do you think about that?
Well, honestly, I feel like at this point, I mean, I remember being a kid and just being ignorant to everything going on in the world. And I think my moment was 9/11 for me, what happened in 2001. And of course, all these theories came out about how it was the government that was behind these towers. Because if you have a tower completely made of steel, how is one object going to cause a complete collapse of two towers, right? So that was kind of my moment, being in second grade at this point, saying, okay, something's not quite right here.
Wow.
I mean, these theories can't just come out of left field, right? Is that just me, or... I know I'm going to get a lot of gripe for this, but...
You're going to get gripe about this, because you just made me feel... You just made me realize how old I am. Oh, gosh!
I think I feel like I'm dating.
Wow. Okay, keep going.
But, I mean, it's gotten to the point where I feel like I'm at the burnout stage, where I'm seeing, you know, the constant news stories where I really, I'm just over it. Where it's the constant backlash and believing that your news sources are there to protect you and feeling that they're really not.
Nope.
Just knowing that you have your set amount of knowledge, and there's nothing in the world that can change that for you.
You know how we know that the mainstream media is full of it with an agenda? You know how we know? It's because cell phones. It's because I got eyes and I got ears.
Yep.
And I see the event happening.
Yep.
And I hear the event happen. I hear what the people say. And then all of a sudden you put this swing on it for an agenda. I say, that's not the context that he had it in or she had it in. That's not what happened. Why aren't you showing this, like on the Kennedy assassination? You're only going to show the Saputo film that people say, oh, there it is. No, you didn't see all the other films, like the motorcycle cop running to the grassy knoll with hundreds of people following him to stand up on the wall and say, there he goes, or where's he going? How do we get to him? You don't see that. When you see it, you go, hey, wait a minute here. I thought it was just the guy up there in the book depository.
Well, Matt, you know, you and I have discussed this several times. Another way is the fact that you look at all of the different major media outlets. You know, you got your television news, Fox, CNN, CBS, CNBC, ABC. Then you've got your major newspapers. You've got your major news magazines. They're all owned by, you know, one of like four or five different companies.
Right.
And that's it.
And they're all producing the same exact stuff.
I'm going to slaughter these statistics, but it says about 90% of all media is owned by about six or seven large families or corporations, and they're all into the same like-mind thinking. So that's why you hear the same stuff coming from everybody at the same time.
And it's why you always have the ones that seem like they're at odds are always at odds on the same exact subjects in the same exact way.
Right.
It's one puppeteer
two puppets, same puppeteer, and if you don't like this guy, they're going to sway you over to this guy, which is doing the same thing. They're going in the same direction.
If I could interject, like, with me, I'm from Houston, of course, so I'm in the middle of Hurricane Harvey and all of the things going on, and watching all of this news coverage and looking at all the footage and realizing that what is put out in the media was not the same exact thing going on in Houston. Granted, it was a lot of damage.
Yes.
But not to the extent that the media was conveying. I mean, you did have people flooded out of their homes. You did have plenty of people in shelters.
Here's a perfect example. I'm not taking anything away from what the hurricane did. Don't get me wrong. But the media, here's a perfect example. They get flat-bottom boats.
Mm-hmm.
There's a person sitting in the boat because they can't make it out of the area. And the guy pulling the boat is in calf-deep water.
Right.
I'm like, give me a break.
Right.
Man. Give me a break.
And, that's not an excuse to take anything away from a catastrophic event. But at the same time, guys, I mean, come on. they're selling on fear at this point.
People willing to do some of the rescuing of themselves.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my good mentor was out with her rescue boat, or with her boat, rescuing those who were in houses that hadn't been flooded quite yet, but they were in danger of being flooded.
Now, I've seen cell phone footage of people helping people,
mm-hmm.
and they put it on the internet.
Yes,
and you say,
absolutely.
Hey, that's genuine compassion and
right.
help for someone. But when they do it where somebody's in a flat-bottom boat and the camera's on it and they're in calf-deep water, I mean, they're just trying to sell a product.
Yeah, and it also gets to the point, like I said, they're capitalizing on the fear. And they're trying to promote people to get prepared. And as I've always seen it, you are either prepared or you're prepared to fail. So it's one or the other. You can't call yourself prepared and then start panicking when everything else happens.
And it's that word right there, mm-hmm. is what they bank on. Panic.
Yes.
Because when you panic, we talked earlier
exactly.
about flight, fight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're banking on, that panic. Because most people are going to freeze or fly. They're going away. And they want to focus on that. And the more they can encourage that.
Yeah, the more they can sell it.
You're right. This is
the more they can sell it.
I got good news for you, though, Janae. You said your burnout, after burnout comes recovery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So that's the good part.
All right. I mean, you can look at that, all sorts of things that's going on in the news. It's just, you got to take your pill. Take your red pill. If you take your red pill, then you can prepare yourself for the stuff that's coming up. You can be prepared in advance. If you're in the blue pill, government's going to take care of me.
The whole point, the whole key to the red pill, though, do your own research.
Oh, my God, yes.
And you got one source research is not research.
Hmm?
One source research is not research.
Even with?
If you're using major news outlets,
I check
find
multiple,
somebody, read some
definitely.
Blogs, read some online news, check out, compare the stories you get, okay? Learn to think for yourself and figure out what's evidence and what's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to parse through that and separate it. Otherwise, you're not doing yourself any good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I think, Trey, what we're going to do, let's take a couple minute break. But the seven stages of preparedness, once again, was ignorance, realization, panic, burnout, recovery, modify, and maintain. And so take your red pills. I guarantee if you take your pill, you'll feel better. And you may have sorrow because you know. What's that verse in the Bible that you like, Trey?
He who increases knowledge increases sorrow.
Explain it.
The more you know, the less happy you are with, and less satisfied you are with the way things are.
But you have the ability to change it.
That's the mm-hmm. first step to change it.
There you go. All right, let's take a break. Let's take a 2 or 3 minute break, and we'll be back on the other side.
Good.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back live here. That was, as I listened to that 7 points of preparedness, it's pretty darn good, to be honest with you, because I lived it and I experienced it, and I'm like saying you need to listen and learn it so you don't have to go through all that crap, okay? Don't go through the burnout stage. But look, I've got something here I wanted to say real quick before I take a quick break and have Master Key come on here and then kick my rear end. It was Cooler Wars. Yeti cuts ties with NRA. Arctic responds by backing the Second Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a business out there and you're going to fight the Second Amendment, you're going to lose, okay? Let's put it this way. Without giving any reason, cooler company Yeti cut ties with the NRA and competitor Arctic
took advantage of the strange decision by sending out a message in support of the Second Amendment. So what I'm saying is, if you got your Arctic coolers out there and you're a true lover of the Second Amendment, you got great targets for practice, okay? And there are lots of videos out there of people destroying their Yetis and praising their Arctic. So I'm just putting it out there. If you got a Yeti cooler and you got nothing to shoot at, well, that makes for a perfect target. All right, Trey, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have Master Cindy Key. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowlers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We got about 4 minutes left, and I've got the awesome Master Cindy Key next to me here, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy out of Rockdale. Master Key, welcome again to the show. What are we doing? What are you going to do to me today, please? Tell everybody what you're going to do.
Well, I'm going to show you how to redirect somebody's energy. Let's say there's the door, and you're in front of me, and I think you're going to be a threat or you're going to bother me, and maybe you're just messing with me, and I just want to get to that door and get out of the way, and I don't really want to do a whole lot to you.
And once again, it'll be on video probably Monday or Tuesday. You get to see it. We'll do it one way, then do the reverse way, and then you can check it out and learn. Okay.
So if he's coming at me and I just panic and I just put my hands up here, we're in a struggle now. It's his power against my power unless I start striking. Okay, and all I want to do is get to that door. He's bothering me. I'm just going to turn. Okay, here, the first he's come at me, and I stay chest to chest with him, and my hands are out trying to stop his momentum. But if he's taller and bigger than me, he's going to push me, and I don't want that. But I want him to go past me, so I'm going to put one hand on one shoulder, one hand on the other. But I'm not going to stay straight at him. I'm going to open up like a door, just like I have a hinge on my back leg, and I'm just going to turn like a door. And that's going to take him that way, and then I can go this way.
I'll tell you what, I was talking to her during the break, and because we were practicing this, my energy was directed forward. I wasn't even expecting a twist, and when that happens, you get loss of balance, so that worked out really well. Let's reverse it so they can see it from the other side.
So again, if I try to stop this power, and we're chest to chest, now we're in a power struggle here, unless I start striking. But I don't want that. And I'm right-handed, so I'm going to turn him. I'm going to use my left hand for control, and I'm going to turn his shoulder. And as I'm turning, I'm walking, and I have my hand here. But if he comes at me, I have my kick. And so I'll stop him that way. And then I'm just trying. All I'm doing is trying to make space and get to my opening.
Very good. Okay, we're going to have that on video. Miss Key's got some things going on. Miss Key, why don't you tell everybody what you got going on, where you're at, how they can get a hold of you, so on and so forth.
I have a summer special, and I only have 8 openings left because I'm only accepting 10 new students. And there's 8 openings left, and it is $99 for 2 months of class. And the uniform and stuff you have to get from me, and that's $45. But if you want something for your kids to learn some real self-defense, and we also prepare for a world championship that is in July or August. I have to look at the calendar, but we do that, and I usually take the whole school to that.
So, I mean, everybody, she takes you from beginning all the way to competition. So, I mean, you learn the whole ropes. You get to compete. It's just like shooting at a piece of paper with a gun. A lot of good it is if you don't go advanced training. Well, she takes you in there as the piece of paper and turns you into a round robin, and she starts learning you, teaching you how to maneuver, taking to competitions to compete against other people, things like that. So,
30 seconds.
Talk it up.
Well, the difference between my class two and some other classes and some that I've been to is that some schools test. So if you come to my school, I have a traditional martial arts school, and we do some fun stuff within the tradition, but the kids test at their own rate. So if we have it, because I'm a terrible slow learner, if you're a slow learner, he may test a little later than somebody else, but if I have one that's really learning and he's respectful and, you know, he kind of gets the mentality, then he may test before. I don't hold people back and say, okay, we're testing every 2 months, or test you if you're not ready. If you're not ready, you're not testing.
All right, everybody, until next week, keep your powder dry and God bless. Thank you, Ms. Key.
Looking ahead to the next one.
President Trump says Kim Jong-un isn't playing games this time around, and if there is no agreement to be made, he says he'll just leave the room.
This should not have been left for me to handle.
President Trump said bringing peace to the Korean Peninsula is his responsibility.
We will not repeat the mistake of past administrations.
Blaming predecessors for failing to halt North Korea's nuclear development. The president said he was